All Scripture is God-breathed. Thus far the text. As we begin our time together this morning and our reflection, I'd like you to do something you've done millions of times before. I'd like you to take a deep breath. Seriously. The average person breathes about 16 times a minute. That's about 960 times an hour, 23,040 times per day, and that comes out to 8,409,600 times a year. Do the math on your own time. That's a lot. If you live to be 80 years old, you will have breathed approximately 672,768,000 times, if I had a dime for every time and so on, right? That's a lot of breathing. That's pretty incredible. Yet most of the time, as you're breathing all of those 672 million breaths you will take, you won't even think about it, right? You probably didn't even think about your breathing today until you got here to church. And if you were up for an hour or two, you've breathed some 64,000 times or so today and didn't think about it. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? Isn't that incredible how that works? And yet, we only notice our breathing when it isn't happening. It may be one of the most panic beginning devices, isn't it, when you can't catch your breath? I distinctly remember as a child, I was playing football, flag football at that, not even tackle football, but I got hit particularly hard and I fell and I got the breath knocked out of me. At least that was what I was told. And that's scary, right? Especially the first time it happens. And then, of course, the people come around you and they say, relax. And you're like, relax, I can't breathe. What do you mean, relax? But pretty soon your lungs expand and the breath returns and the anxiety begins to come down. But not being able to breathe is scary because you and I know something. We know breath gives life. We breathe, and that means we're living. We get scared because when we can't catch our breath, when it's difficult to breathe, because we know that those two things go together, breath and life, and always have. From the moment a newborn is spanked on their bottom to cause their lungs to expand, right? That old wives' tale. We know that breath gives life. We breathe and therefore we live. One of the first concerns first responders and paramedics have for an individual who is in medical distress is to make sure that they're breathing okay, that they have a good airway. Because you're going to get tired of hearing it. Breath gives life. And it isn't just a medical or a human idea. It's a biblical idea that breath gives life. From the very beginning, throughout the scriptures, these two things go together. When God had formed the entirety of his creation by speaking it into being, he does something different for you and I, for humankind. He forms man out of the dust of the ground and breathes into him life. Then the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God's breath gives man life. Dirt becomes human flesh living in the breath of God. Breath gives life. We see it also in that very famous story in Ezekiel of the Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He led me around among them, and behold, there were very many bones on the surface of the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. You shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Ezekiel could command and say exactly what God wants him to say, and the bones come together, and the sinews come together, and the flesh covers them, and the skin covers all of that, and they're still dead. Dead bodies laying on the valley floor, not looking dry anymore, but dead nonetheless. It isn't until he gives the second prophecy that breath should come. Then life is given, because breathing gives life. So when the epistle reading for today tells us that all scripture is God-breathed, it doesn't just mean that all scripture is dictated or inspired by God. It means that. It means that God is the source of all that we read. But that's not all that it means. And if we only use this text as a proof text for the source of scripture, we're missing the point. It is indeed a proof text that God has given us the scripture, and it is his writing. But it is not just that. It leads on not only to the source of this writing, but to the purpose of this writing, of this Bible. It means that all scripture is breathed out by God and is intended to do what the breath of God does. That which we've seen in Adam, that which we've seen in the Valley of Dry Bones. Scripture not only is breathed out by God and comes from him, but it's breathed out by God to do that which God intended, to give life. This is why you have the Bible. This is why the scriptures are important. This is why it matters in your life, because it gives life. The epistle lesson goes on to give us this list of things that scripture can do. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All these things tell us what the scripture is able to do, and appropriately so, but what lies at the substance of scripture, what lies at the heart of the Bible, is God's desire to give life through it. What we see God do in the garden with Adam breathing into his nostrils the breath of life is what God desires to do for all of us, to give life. So when the scriptures tell us all scripture is God-breathed, it may as well be saying God's desire is to give you life. And he does so here in these books, in these words, in these chapters, in these 66 books gathered together into one. God gives life. And he does so through the news of Jesus Christ. The scriptures are full of lots of stories. Wonderful stories that we know. Wonderful ways in which God has worked throughout the centuries in the world. From David and Goliath to the flood, to the Valley of Dry Bones, to the parable of the Good Samaritan. All of these are things through which God has worked. But the primary message of all of that, covering all of that, like an umbrella of the entire scriptures, is God gives life in Jesus Christ. That's what it means when we say all scripture is God-breathed. It is God breathing out life in his Son, Jesus Christ. He, the Word made flesh, is God-breathing. This is the message we hear, and this is the message we take, and this is the reason we listen to the scriptures. It's the reason they were given. The scriptures are not first and foremost a guidebook for this life. There are, in fact, within the scriptures, directions, expectations, principles laid down of what God's will is for your life. The Ten Commandments are real and are given by God for purpose. But the primary purpose of scripture does not reside in those things. It does not reside in telling you how to live. The primary purpose of scripture is that, not that, you would have your best life now. Sorry, Mr. Osteen. Right? The primary purpose of scripture is that you might know Jesus. And that in him you might know salvation. And have eternal life. The verses just before our text get at this, right? That from childhood you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to a salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the reason the scriptures are given. That's what the scriptures do. They give life. They breathe life into lifelessness, into these dry bones that are you and I. We are a dying people. Our sin dries us up. Every ache and pain, every failing of our body and creaking of our bones reminds us that we're getting older and that eventually all bodies fail. Yet God is a God of life, a God who gives life, and he gives them through his holy word. The scriptures are the resuscitation given to our love, given to us by our loving God. Just as God breathed life into lifeless clay, so he breathes life into dying clay, sinful clay, death-deserving clay like you and I. God gives life, and he gives it in his word. We study the scriptures, not merely so that we might know whose uncle was who begat who, when this happened, or what comes next. We study the scriptures because in them is life. Because in them God breathes into us. These are life-giving words. They change lives. This last week, I was in pastor's conference in Reno, Nevada. And it was focused upon missions around the world. And we had four very, very good speakers. One from Hmong Ministries, one from Kenya, one from Alaskan Indian Ministries, and another I'm not going to remember right now. It's the fourth one. But they were all very good. But Pastor Ku Seeing, who's a very good friend of mine, I met Ku back in 1990. He saw me running on the seminary campus, and he came running up to me and said, "You need to come play on the soccer team." I said, "Okay." But Ku is a Hmong pastor. And currently he serves in St. Louis as a professor of multi-ethnic ministry. But he told us the story of when he was a Hmong pastor in Merced. And there was a shaman of the Hmong people. The Hmong people are animists who believe in the spirits of their ancestors inhabiting many things. And they rely upon the spirits of their ancestors for many things. And he had met this shaman. He had been talking with the shaman. And he really perceived that the shaman was in the darkness of death because he was so taken by this false religion known as animism. And by God's grace, this shaman saw the light of Christ and was delivered by the gospel. Was delivered from death to life, from darkness to light. And the shaman invited Pastor Seying and others of the Hmong congregation, and I'm told that the Hmong people don't do anything individually, but the entire congregation comes to do things, which is wonderful, isn't it? And they all descended upon the shaman's home. And the shaman asked them to help him cleanse his home of any animistic things. And they gathered all these things, including this giant altar that Ku had on a picture on the overhead. And they gathered all these things together and they took them out of the house, cleansed this house of all this heathen religion. And then Ku told us, we used to take all that stuff and put it into the trash. But we discovered after doing that a few times with other houses that it was too tempting. And so the homeowners would go and retrieve their ancestral things from the trash. And so now they have a ritual whereby they take all of this stuff and they burn it. And in the light of that fire, the light of Christ is proclaimed. And they're delivered from death to life. And it all happened because one Hmong man spoke to a shaman the word of God. And the word breathes life. And it changed everything. This is what God's word does. And for 3 days, I was able to listen to these kind of stories from around the world of how God's word goes out and breathes life into places where there's only darkness. Brings life to a dying people. Gives hope to the hopeless. You and I are students of the word of God. But not so that we can do well on Jeopardy, right? Although I do. We are students of the word of God because it gives and breathes life. Because it speaks Christ. Or to use that great word from the hymn we just sang, right? It bespeaks Christ. I love that word. It brings light in darkness. It reminds us that though day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, we are indeed dying, we have the resuscitation of life that comes through God's word. We have the eternal life that is promised in Christ Jesus. The word breathes life. To God be the glory, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.